The 1-900 Wrestling Program is brought to you, as always, by patreon.com/1900wrestling. Why don't you head on over there right now? Make sure you become a part of the best wrestling community on the internet by joining our patron-only Discord. Ooh-wee! It's a great time. But enough of talking about how we support the show. Huh? Oh, what do you say we just do with that damn thing? Oops. Hold on. I screwed up by keeping music on. I had Gold Digger playing instead of our theme song. Here we go.
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number
1-900 Wrestling.
Stupid idiots.
They call me.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We're back, baby! Oh, my God. We had vacations. We had holidays. So much kept us apart, but nothing would drive us apart forever. This is Justin Robert Young. Joining me, as always, is Willie Dills Gregory. How you doing?
I'm great. I'm just coming off of DreamHack, which was, you know, DreamHacky. It was.
I mean, but that's like, really, you have just had an insane month. Like, yeah. You were all over the place. You're out here for a little bit. You played
7 days, yeah.
You played a reunion show with your old band, which was amazing, in a room.
Yeah, you were there, yeah.
In a room where I didn't even realize that Mike Dirnt from Green Day was in the same room that I was, apparently watching you guys perform, which was fantastic.
Yeah, that was a shock to everybody. It was funny, like, we did the thing where everybody suddenly wanted to talk to him, and I felt like super awkward. So I kind of just went in, got a photo, said thanks for showing up, and then bounced out.
Which
because
is
he
weird
was being
because,
bombarded.
Yeah, ostensibly he's there to see. I mean, you were the not only the special attraction, right? Mm. Because it was a band that was a band and now is no longer a band, but you were performing with the headliners.
Yeah.
You were double dipping.
That was my other old band. Two old bands that I played in playing the same show. That was a good time, man. And me and you got to hop on over to, where did we go? We went to Mallard.
The Mallard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hopped on over there, had a quick drink, came on back. It was a fun little catching up. And then we hung out the next day, 2 days later, with all my golf buddies. It was, that was a fun trip, man.
A blast.
Yeah.
Always.
And I'll be back in a month.
You are. You're going to be back for NJPW.
Yep.
Going to be back. You're out early enough to go see Hood Slam, right?
The plan is, yeah, because it's the first Friday, right?
First
so the
Friday.
Plan is I'm going to come in, I think, Friday in the morning.
Nice.
Then I'll be there for Hood Slam. So we can do Hood Slam, and then the event is the 7th, which is it the next night?
Next Saturday? Night. Oh, no. It's back-to-back, brother.
Yeah. So, yeah, that'll be exciting because I've never actually been to Hood Slam. I'm now an avid Hood Slam Twitch viewer, though.
Yeah.
Because it is, I don't know, like, I guess I didn't realize what I was missing out on. It is not simply a wrestling show. It is an event.
No, it is an event. You know, I think I've been fond of saying on this show that professional wrestling in general is immersive theater where everybody is playing a role. And
sure.
the performers are pretending to be athletic combatants and the crowd is pretending to be a crowd. Hood Slam is that if you replaced the athletic competition with, like, watching wrestling from the 90s. It's so just it's hard to describe in a way that I think attracts people because it seems gimmicky. And you kind of just got to
I mean,
do
it
that.
Is. It is. But that's okay because it fits in. To me, it's a very Bay Area thing.
Yes.
When I watch it. Like, this is existing in Oakland because that's where things like this exist, right?
It's wrestling unlike you will ever see wrestling.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It is a nightclub environment with all the attendant standing, the billowing pot smoke. And the chaos that goes along with it.
Did you ever see Incredibly Strange Wrestling? Was that in your era of being in the Bay Area?
No.
So Incredibly Strange Wrestling was something that would happen pretty regularly in San Francisco. They did a lot of them at the Fillmore, but originally it was It was done at the, what was it called, like the Z Theater or something like that, which is in that little area right by where Slim's Transmission Theater. That's what it was called.
Okay.
Anyway, what it was similar to this, lots of super gimmicky type wrestlers, and a lot of them were not trying to become pro wrestlers. They were just part of this,
yeah,
you know, essentially a variety show, which would book a bunch of punk bands to play in between.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you would get like a series of wrestling matches, then a band would come on, and then more wrestling matches, and then another band would come on. And sometimes it was, you know, huge bands like Bad Religion, No Effects, like that kind of stuff. So the shows would be massive. But there was like guys like Macho Sasquatcho was one of the wrestlers.
Gotcha.
And there was a character, I can't remember his name now, but his character was basically gay. That was like the shtick there, and then he would always fight against a priest or something like that.
Yeah,
who was
trying to make something very San Francisco.
Yes, yeah. But then they also had luchadors would come through and do like flips off of the balcony and stuff like that. So it was like another kind of, okay, there is still legit wrestling, but it's also this comedy / punk rock show. It was great.
And by the way,
it reminds me very much of Hood Slam.
Yeah, and Hood Slam, I try not to just make this a Hood Slam infomercial, although I do love it so. But, Manny Favorito, one of their wrestlers, was featured on the Greatest Royal Rumble. Shotzi Blackheart is somebody that is apparently now going to make some Impact tapings, so... There is legit wrestling to be had. And also AJ Kirsch, the host, Bros of Joe Brody, is on one of the more recent episodes of the Stone Cold podcast. So if don't take my word for it on this podcast, go listen to Stone Cold, interview AJ Kirsch about it. Great times. Anyway, you will do that. You will come out here. We do have a possible thing that we could do. And I want to run this by you. Because there's another wrestling podcast, the We Watch Wrestling Show, where I've been a fan of it for a while. I really like it. They have a live show the day of the New Japan show. So I think it's in the area. It'd be before. Oh, yeah. So we would... Now, it would mean us mobilizing before noon.
Sure.
We'd have to be somewhere before noon.
Okay.
So there is that to factor into it, but...
And this is the day after Hood Slam.
Day after Hood Slam, so...
yeah.
There is that element to factor into it.
There's some difficulty to this. But look, if it's in San Francisco...
It is.
Because Hood Slam is over like early enough that I can get back to the city pretty easily, right?
I mean, in the era of Uber and
sure.
Lyft, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, cool. Because, I mean, that's, there's nothing to prevent this from happening then. Yeah, that's easy.
We'll see. We'll see. All right. I don't know if...
Your proposition? So what are we actually going to do here? Are we going to just crash this party, or are we going to let them know that we're coming?
Oh, yeah, I know. We're going to, yeah. You know who I am, but you don't know why I'm here. No, I think it would just be a fun thing to do. I know that they always have a great rowdy crowd whenever they do a live show. So I think it would be a good pre-thing. But you want to know what? We can do this conversation over text and not necessarily on the podcast.
No, I think we should talk about the logistics of this. Let's get into the nitty-gritty.
We've got so much to talk about. All In has, I think, come and gone since we did a show together. The theory that it was going to maybe take a little while to sell out, and not founded. That thing sold out before I could even buy tickets to give away on the show. I just wanted to kind of support it, and it was sold out before I had the chance to give my cash over. We have the CM Punk, Dr. Chris Amon trial. We've got the Money in the Bank pay-per-view coming up in the next 2 weeks, and... maybe the biggest wrestling news story, IMO, Enzo Amore's new single. He is redebuted as a rap star, and he has shown his wares on the internet. Of those four, Willie, what do you want to start with?
I think we got to give the most time to Enzo.
So do you want to bang out one of these earlier? Or?
Yeah, let's get to some of this other stuff and then give Enzo all the time till the end of the show.
So what do you take from the success of All In?
I mean,
what does it mean?
It's the right time and it's the right people, right?
Who is are that
putting
it?
This together. Yeah. I'm not surprised by this at all. I think anybody who is surprised by this just hasn't been paying attention to what's going on in indie wrestling right now. Because, yeah, it's like these guys, you know, with all the Hot Topic, they're outselling like all these other shirts, and there's clearly a lot of popularity. I was at DreamHack. I two-sweeted a whole bunch of people in Bullet Club shirts walking around that place. And that's, you know, and I do believe that the video game nerd and wrestling nerd communities do have a lot of crossover.
Indeed they do. That sure, is for sure.
But it was just, you know, it's one of those things where you just realize like how ingrained in the culture that is now. You know, that these guys who are not WWE wrestlers, not even close to, you know, I mean, definitely on the radar, but these guys who are, you know, never made appearances on WWE are this popular, right? So,
I mean, that is a big switch, though, because we went to, at the time, the biggest Ring of Honor show of all time, and they were doing backflips because they got 3,000 people.
Yes.
During WrestleMania weekend.
It is still an impressive feat, yes.
Like, 10,000, to the point where their lesson was, man, you guys should have either charged more for tickets or run a bigger arena. Like, that's gigantic. That's huge.
Now, here's the thing, though. I think that they priced things really well for this because I think, you know, more than making a little bit extra money, right? Because there's a trend now of overpricing tickets. I don't know if you heard about game one of the finals, the NBA championship finals.
Yeah.
Was not sold out at the beginning of the game.
Because
the ticket prices were just ridiculous, right? And this apparently this is a similar thing is happening to Taylor Swift on her latest tour. The prices of her tickets are so crazy that people aren't, they're not selling out, but she's still making like a ton of money, right? She's actually, you compare, like, I think it was like, if you put her on the list of women who've made the most money in a single tour, like she is now top of the list, even without selling out because the prices are so expensive. But I think this, what, you know, they priced things correctly and promoted things correctly. And I think having a 10,000 seat rather than 15,000 seat, because now they get to say we sold it out in, you know, minutes.
They
right?
do.
Like, that's a huge thing.
That's a fact. And there's not a tremendous amount of tickets on StubHub.
Like, I haven't even checked. Is it? Yeah. Is there like?
I mean, I think it's about what you would see for, you know, a finals game, right?
Sure.
Either the NHL or the NBA. It's about what you would see for a WWE pay per view. It's not like the entire arena got bought up. I think a lot of it went to fans. And I think as far as these ticket prices go, well, we'll see where they shake out. But look, they priced it to move. Their win was we sell 10,000 tickets. Here's my question. Did the fact that this sold out so quick, does this make it more or less likely that we are going to see some big names that we might have hoped for otherwise? Because the initial thought, long gone are the thoughts of, hey, you're going to need Daniel Bryan. Hey, you're going to need CM Punk. You can't just take, granted, the most popular ROH and New Japan wrestlers and put them on a show when New Japan and Ring of Honor wrestle all the time and they're wrestling for 3,000 people.
By the way, what are the official matches? Because I think all I've heard about for sure is Cody, right?
Well, we have
we know that one official match,
and that is Cody Rhodes versus the NWA champion. Now, that has taken a circuitous route. Nick Aldis, the current NWA champion, has said that he will not wrestle Cody unless Cody wins the Ring of Honor championship from your beloved Dalton Castle and makes it a title-for-title match. But other than that, we don't know. You're right. And I almost feel like at this point, they should just run a mystery card. Everybody right? bought the tickets yeah. anyway.
They should just have somebody come out and be the GM of All In and just start making up matches.
Sure.
During the show.
I think that there'll be that there will be an announcement, and we will see, because sure. I think they're going to want to build these feuds through being the Elite.
Yeah. This is a great opportunity to you know, have some storylines and get some cool stuff going. But I also really enjoy the fact that they said they're going to try to keep the show at about 3 hours. It's like, it just feels like they're doing everything just to make this show go off successfully. Right.
Yeah.
And that to me is there's a lot of foresight there. You sell out in minutes. The next time you have one, you're going to have bigger arenas like trying to get you to come there. Right. It's not you're going to get more people competing to be there to wrestle this event. Right. You're going to get bigger names down the road because now it's got this kind of cachet. And if the whole thing goes perfectly, yeah, you're set up for tons and tons of future success and future money. So it feels to me like they just kind of knew exactly how they were going to do this. And this was all very well thought out behind the scenes.
I mean, whatever it is the new model for independent success.
Sure.
And at the very least, it says, you all need to be dreaming bigger. You all need to be throwing your hat over higher walls because these guys are all, I mean, forget WWE saying, or, you know, the thought now, and I think rightly, saying that WWE wasted Cody or Cody needed other lessons to learn before he became the performer that he is now. Look at Ring of Honor. And look, Ring of Honor is lending their talent to this show, but there's no reason why that initial Meltzer tweet was Ring of Honor can't run a 10,000-seat arena. Not just the most popular guys.
So I'm actually looking right now, and even though we only have one official match, we do know Kenny Omega. We do know, Stephen Amell. Okay. And then we do know like guys like, Penta, Rey Fénix, apparently Okada, Tessa, Adam Page, Skrull. Yeah. I mean, okay. This is going to be ridiculous.
No, it's going to be great. And you can begin to see without getting into spoilers for being the Elite, possibly a Stephen Amell, Joey Ryan match. These things are all coming together, but obviously we are rooting for All In. Pursuant to our conversation the last time we did a show, Willie, thank you again to Okadrian who came on in a spot, but the still unresolved whether or not this will be streamed or pay-per-viewed.
Yeah.
But I will say that they've mentioned it enough that now I think it's a bit. Like, that they are teasing people that this won't be streamed or won't be pay-per-viewed.
It seems silly to pass up on even more money and more.
I mean, that's the reason to do it. The reason to do it is to make all that extra money or pour all that heat into, you know, if they were to do it on Twitch, then you are basically building. If you built this event off one cannon effectively with YouTube and being the Elite in terms of keeping up with your audience and feeding your own storylines, then to do it on Twitch and have two of them, that's a very big, it's a big idea.
Sure.
It's forward thinking.
Yeah. I mean, look, they've done everything else right to this point. I would be very surprised if suddenly they just go, yeah, but we're not going to.
I mean, the reason why I said last time was right now they can't go wrong as long as the show's good. And if they have the talent, then they've done the thing that makes the show good, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of ways that the number one thing that people would be bitching about with All In is the stream sucked or my pay-per-view dropped right in the middle of a big spot. You know, like that's that's all that the internet would bitch about, right?
Sure.
Like, that's all that they would talk about.
Actually, I was just about to say this, but Jay May in the chat just said, if it wasn't streamed, the iPhones of 10,000 wrestling fans would provide enough camera angles. There would definitely be plenty of, people just sharing it on. What do people share on now? Is Snapchat? Would they just be Snapchatting it?
Oh, sure, yeah. Well, you know, Twitch, Periscope, Facebook.
Sure, Periscope, yeah.
You can Instagram Live now. I'll tell you who wishes that he had taken a photo of something is CM Punk, who wishes that he took a picture of his staph infection because it is at the center of the currently ongoing lawsuit between himself and Colt Cabana in one quarter, teaming up again, or teaming up once again, against current WWE doctor Chris Amon. How much have you been following this trial, Willie?
To be fair, not that much. But just seeing posts about it on Squared Circle, because every single day somebody makes a post about what the current day's notes are and things like that. But yeah, it's still... I'm still, like, unclear on really what the issues are between these people. So maybe, I don't know, can you give a,
yes,
give a synopsis you can give for anybody who's, like me, hasn't been able to keep up every single day?
So the lawsuit is centering around the, quite possibly, the seminal moment in wrestling podcasts. The Art of Wrestling interview between Colt Cabana and CM Punk that shed
it's
light.
It's really just a defamation suit, right? Like, the,
yes,
is it
yes,
brought on by Dr. Chris, what's his name? Amon?
Dr. Chris Amon.
Yes.
Effectively,
he's the one who actually is suing,
yes,
right? He is the plaintiff.
It is it case. Is thought that WWE is backing them, or backing,
sure,
him. But, yeah, this is, on the face of it, Chris Amon suing CM Punk and Colt Cabana for doing the podcast. And the issue at play here is that CM Punk says that it was mishandling of medical stuff that made him quit, up to and including the fact that he had a lump on his back. He kept asking how it would be dealt with. Chris Amon, according to CM Punk, kept saying, well, just take a Z-Pack, just take a Z-Pack, just take a Z-Pack. And then once he was gone, he went to another doctor to get it looked at. They immediately diagnosed it as a staph infection and lanced it to comical effect, if you remember that podcast. So,
sure,
the issue here is Chris Amon, Dr. Chris Amon, is seeking damages for the damage done to his reputation by way of that podcast. Best I can tell.
Yeah.
I'm not a lawyer, so I am not an expert on this. However, I do know the one element of law that I am familiar with is similar. It is libel law. This, I think, is slander and defamation. But the biggest thing, whenever you are going after a media entity for saying things mean or untrue about you, you need to clear a very specific hurdle. Number one, is it untrue? And even if you can prove that it's untrue, you need to prove that they did something with actual malice.
Yeah, they, like their intent was
to injure you,
tarnish you, your reputation. Right?
Yeah. Now, there are two problems that you have here. And also for Chris Amon's side, you need to prove what you're suing for, what damages, what the damages are. Chris Amon never lost his job. According to testimony, everybody still thinks he's a good doctor. He hasn't been reprimanded, or suspended, or fined by WWE. According to his own testimony, he just really had a couple bad days. Now, that is probably not tremendous grounds to sue somebody. Or at least
no, yeah, that sounds pretty, yeah, that, it's questionable at best. If he had lost his job, if
there
he had then
be
been
a,
out of work for
yeah.
an extended period of time, then there's actually there's like money amounts you can point to, right?
Yes.
But this is the thing I never get about this stuff, these civil suits. It's people just make up a number, right?
Yeah.
And sue for that much. And I'm sure that, you know, their representation helps them come to a number that they believe is realistic and achievable. But oftentimes that number just seems like just absurd.
Yes.
You know, like that. Oh,
because it is.
Has nothing to do with reality.
I mean, look, lawyer's got a lawyer, right? Like
yeah,
they're...
no, and the other thing, too, you hear a lot of times about these cases are taken for free based on the amount that the lawyer expects to be able to take once if they actually win, right?
Yeah.
So, like, they take it on essentially on spec, right? That if we win, I will get a lot of money. If we don't win, oh, well, that's
something but tells me that this is not being done on spec.
I'm
for
sure
Dr.
this
Chris
is not
about.
How this one's being handled. To me, a lot of this just feels like... not necessarily about winning on WWE side, but a little bit. There's maybe some just revenge type of stuff going on here. Like, just put CM Punk through the ringer, right?
Yeah.
Because I don't know if there's, like, what you're telling me and what it sounds like and everything I've read, it doesn't seem like a very winnable case for Dr. Amon.
Here are the key factors. Number one, well, just fun stuff. CM Punk said that he felt that he was bitter when he recorded that podcast, that he was angry. These are feelings that he does not necessarily feel the same way now. And he spent today in court trying to describe the lump for the court, to which somebody put the great quote here in the chat.
Well, he confirms that he did not measure it.
Yes.
Confirms he did not take a picture of it. I mean, look, every I don't know, man. CM Punk, that's suspect. Everybody measures their lump.
Yeah, at some point. At some point, you're measuring your lump.
Yeah. At some point, you get in a locker room conversation with other dudes about their lumps, and you go home and you pull out some measuring tape.
You pull out the measuring tape and take a peek. Exactly. And then you Google average size of average male lump.
Yeah. And then you feel inferior. Yeah.
It's J-May in the chat says, and here was the quote that I think everybody saw on Reddit from one of the reporters. Punk confirms that a baseball is bigger than a quarter.
Yeah. Punk also confirms Patrick Duffy is not a doctor. I don't know if you saw that, but we can finally settle that argument. We can put that debate to rest.
So, look, it's ongoing as an armchair legal expert. I don't know. This does not seem like an airtight actual malice kind of case, but
yeah,
you never know.
By the way, Punk also confirmed calling Patrick Duffy by the name Patrick Bateman. So whoops.
Oh, gotcha.
This is huge, huge stuff. One of my favorite things about anytime you read through like a transcript of someone giving testimony is just how ridiculous they get into these things just to make sure that everything is clear 100% and nothing can be taken out, you know, wrongly or out of context. They get the most mundane details and then they focus on them for like 5 minutes.
By the way, another note on this CM Punk trial. CM Punk has a UFC fight this weekend.
Whoa. Now this guy is less, the guy he's fighting this time is not as dangerous or scary as the guy he fought last time, right? I feel like
Mickey Gall. Yeah. Mickey Gall was much younger, had no professional fighting, no UFC fighting experience, but was seen as an up-and-comer.
Yeah, yeah, someone with a future.
The guy that he's facing on Saturday also lost to Mickey Gall in his first fight. So they both lost to Mickey Gall, and now they are going to fight each other.
So this is like the third place match. Mickey Gall clearly the winner, and then the two losers go up against each other. Got it.
This is also under the backdrop that CM Punk was announced to have a T-shirt signing All In weekend. Very evasive comments from everybody involved as to whether or not he will be involved in All In weekend, but we will see. Something tells me that there will be more ability to talk about the wrestling future of CM Punk once this trial and that UFC fight are done, right?
Now, he doesn't have to wrestle a match to still do something that would blow the roof off the joint at All In, though, you know? If he just comes out, people will lose their minds.
Absolutely. I don't think that CM Punk would be a part of it without getting physical on some level.
Sure.
He's going to put someone to sleep.
Yeah.
Also confirmed during testimony, CM stands for Chick Magnet.
Ah.
Which was the initial.
Like ladies love Cool J.
Exactly.
Chick Magnet Punk.
Well, because he was like, there was two, he was like part of a tag team that were both, it was like Chick Magnet, like Pitbulls, right? Like Pitbull 1
and Pitbull
2.
Oh, they were both CM something? Yeah. Got it.
All right, let's get into what's.
You know, look, here's the thing. Whatever happens here, I think we can all agree that it's pretty sweet that a podcast is at the center of a major league
battle. I know, right?
What a time to be alive as a podcaster. Watch what you say, Jerry.
Here's what
someone might sue you for.
Well, we're going to get sued for this because we're going to talk about the newest single from former WWE Cruiserweight Champion Enzo Amore. This is the beginning of his song Phoenix, as released exclusively on World Star.
Breaking news!
Listen up, you sloppy jalopy son of a bitch, sitting on your fucking couch with your fucking phone in your hand, doing your armchair detective work, think you know what the fuck's going on.
Was last okay, time wait, hold on. Can we just pause for a second here? All right, so during this scene, we should describe what's happening.
Yes.
There is an overweight nerd, very clearly what they're trying to represent him as, I think, is the internet wrestling community.
Yes.
Who is shit-talking him. On places like Reddit when the news hit of, you know, him being accused.
Yeah.
Right? That's my takeaway for this portion of the video.
Media songs. Think I wasn't going to say shit?
Oh, wait, hold on.
I'm going to let y'all talk shit. If I had a fuck to give, I would give it. If you're feeling froggy, you ain't got to leap. All you got to do is rip it. Putting on a zero fucks giving exhibit. I got nothing to lose. Minute for minute, then a minute to win it.
All right.
Let's analyze what we got going on so far.
Exactly.
Now, first of all, his flow is really bad. I gotta say, like,
intensely.
He's not off time. It just sounds like it's hard for him to get the words out and enunciate them properly. Right?
He's out of breath.
Yeah.
Repeatedly.
Like, this is difficult. This is not something that he has a natural affinity for. I don't think. This is something that he wants to do, and he, you know, and look, you can get better. But think about, you know, really good rap.
Yes.
And how it sounds.
And then think about this. We continue. Oh, man, you want to know what? I think this thing died on me. Can I give you a controversial opinion on this?
You got a hot take, huh?
I do.
All right.
I think Enzo could be still a big rap star. Now, let me ask you a question.
I don't think he can't.
How familiar?
There's plenty of people who suck at it that are.
How familiar are you with, like, Lil Pump or Tekashi 6ix9ine?
Or Lil Xan?
Or Lil Xan?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. No, I'm in I'm into it. I'm hip. I'm cool. I'm with it.
So, in that world, like in that genre of music, which is very popular.
It's mumble rap, right?
So it's like kind of mumble rap, but also really like it's a lot of that same style of, you know, like a lot of very high energy, growly kind of vocals. The difference is that Enzo's kind of too ambitious for his own good on this song. Like listen to this flow.
Let's give an exhibit. I got nothing to lose. Minute for minute, then a minute to win it. Sky's the limit. Sorry, officer. Gotta admit it. Yeah, I'm over the limit. Left car down with a one-way ticket. Rolled up with it. Spark that bitch. Turn 99 with it. Lit my lips. Piss.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah. So, first of all, here he's admitting to being on drugs.
Well, there's that. But just listen.
But yeah,
to...
no. Cloud, no. Like, you can't quite get the... You know, it's... The thing is, like, there are... he's trying to emulate somebody, like, that he's heard, you know? Like, but... Like, he's kind of got the... Remember Exhibit?
Yes.
He's trying to kind of, like, emulate that vocal sound, but it's like lazy, right?
Well, he just doesn't, he's trying to rap like Kendrick. Like, he's trying to rap, like, he's trying to do very verbally dexterous kind of stuff. And the lyrics,
similar to his promos. He's basically taking his promos and he's trying to do them on time to a fairly upbeat rhythm.
Yeah,
and
but it's like,
it's difficult for him.
He was clever and interesting doing sped up promos, right? He does not. This is a different thing. Like, how much do you have to suck to be out of breath during a record? Like,
yeah, because you get to stop and re-record lines if you want to.
Yeah, like, what? Would you do it in, you know, in 12 hours?
I did see a video where he was basically going to the studio. He was talking about how he was going to the studio that Tupac was shot in. So if you remember, like, the Tupac got shot
in a studio in New York, didn't die,
right? Yeah. He got robbed.
Yeah.
This was, like, years before, and he blamed that on Biggie as, like, they were, you know, jumping him or whatever. I saw a video where he was outside, and he was telling everybody, I want to go in here to this. This is the studio where Tupac got shot. We're going to put out a record right now. And I think this is him going in to make this.
Yeah.
And it might have all just been done in, like, a day. Like, he might have gone in, and then just they just knocked it out, right? And it kind of has that sound to me. Like, it sounds like a throwaway beat that the producer was like, well, you know, the other good rappers didn't really want this, so I'm going to give you this kind of incomplete. There's not a lot to it. You know, it just kind of does the same thing over and over
again.
The
video, I will say, is good. The video is good.
It's super professionally shot. Yeah.
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 By the way, another note,
yeah, like it was just bashed out in a matter of hours. And he didn't do a lot of overdubs. He didn't do a lot of repeating the lines until they sounded right.
Yeah.
He probably just was like, yeah, it sounds great to me because, look, I'm a rapper. Like, it sounds like I'm a rapper.
By the way, he is wearing the outfit that he showed up to Raw 25 in the video when he's in the basement.
Yeah. I didn't actually make that connection.
That was, reported that he was wearing that today is the best day of my life. And on the back it said, and I can't wait till tomorrow, that he wore to the arena before he got fired. But here is one of the elements of the song that people are talking a lot more about.
Yeah, no. Couple red roses, I'm a gimmick. Couple tears at the funeral. They cried tears of joy at my funeral. Yeah, they cried tears of joy at my funeral. Still I rise from the ashes like a phoenix. Middle finger to the sky, gripping my consensual penis. Lying asshole out in Phoenix. When I say this shit, I mean it. Fuck you, Marks, I hate it. This for all my fans are waiting. Entertainment's hottest free agent. Bitch, I'm reincarnated. Gucci with you, dirty baby fag.
So yeah, this is actually probably the best portion of the song.
Grabbing on my consensual penis, lying this ass actually, bitch I, out so in Phoenix.
He starts with all this kind of standard rap stuff, like where you said he was trying to be super lyrical, right, and really clever.
Yeah.
And use a bunch of metaphors and blah, blah, blah. Here, he's literally just like yelling out his frustration about this situation.
Yeah.
And it actually, this part kind of works, like as a rap song.
I don't know exactly how wise it is in life to be commenting on your rape case. Well,
the charges were dropped, so I'm sure that he was feeling like he can now do whatever he wants, right?
Well, he also had some larger societal implications for the woman who brought up these charges.
I can't wait for tomorrow. Rockstar lifestyle might not make it. Fame can be forsaken. Tweeting allegation, falsified statement, fake news and defamation. Due to media speculation based on misinformation is the basis of damnation for our whole fucking nation. Break a story and then you jump to conclusion.
I can't remember where the
verse 8.
Yeah.
He tries to then hop on board the Me Too movement,
yes,
as well as telling a girl who accused him of raping her that he's going to garnish them wages.
Well, he garnishes them wages, but also, that it hurts the Me Too movement and the women's revolution. Still looking out for the women's revolution, Enzo.
He's a very central figure in a lot of revolutions, apparently, in his own mind. But I think this is the problem. Like, if you're going to make a song where you address this and you and you say, okay, this girl falsified this, blah, blah, blah. I don't think it's the right time to then also try to stand behind all the other people.
Well, you know, here's where I don't get Frenzo, real one now, as he is
real
on Twitter.
Real one, yes.
Or Instagram. Here's what I don't get. I don't understand where you don't just release a simpler song initially. Like, build it up. You know, just do a catchy song where you say four words. Do pull a Willow Smith. Just, you know, you whip your hair back and forth. That's all you say 50,000 times, and everybody thinks, hey, did you hear that really repetitive song that one famous person that's trying to break into music came out? It's foolproof. Because people can say, yeah, you can't rap, but at least they know that you're a person who's making music now, and they can't deny the catchiness of the first song. And then maybe you can get a better producer to make a better song.
Yeah, I think it's a rough move to just spend your first song on this. This should be like a B-side to the B-side of the single that he puts out at some point. This should be like track 12. Then he finally addresses these allegations, right? Like, don't try to put this out as your hit, right?
Now, here's the other thing. Do you think this single makes it more or less likely that he will be back in wrestling? Well, either with the WWE or independents?
Less likely, for sure.
You think this is like, he's like, all right, I'm music full-time, fuck wrestling.
I don't think
it
has anything to do with what he wants. I think it's... This came off bad. Like,
I mean, he could get booked at an indie tomorrow.
Sure.
He would have a pretty full calendar if he wanted to do indie wrestling.
If he wanted to, yeah. But I mean, he's not a great wrestler. Like, I don't know. Yes, he's a former.
There's a lot
WWE
of indie wrestlers for indie wrestling. Like, yeah, he's not going to be the top of the top of the top, right? I don't think New Japan.
I mean, he could if he wanted to. He definitely could. There are people who will book him, I'm sure. But I also think that there are a lot of people who looked at this and thought this is kind of a joke, and he might be a little bit more of a joke now than he was before doing this to some people. So, but also, like, yeah, he seems like this part of this video too. He was talking about how he's talking about getting into acting, producing. Starting up his own like media company. Apparently he's got big plans. So,
well,
I don't know if wrestling is part of it. I don't know if wrestling was ever really like, it was just a means to an end, I think, for him.
Do you think that we care about the next Enzo single the way that we've cared about his Hot 97 freestyle and his first single?
You know, I'm going to follow his rap career very closely.
I follow him on Instagram. So I'm excited to see him back. I do definitely feel I feel bad for him. I feel bad. I mean, no matter as much of a clown as he can be, and no matter what his actions are leading past to it, if he was falsely accused of rape, that's a rough draw.
Yeah, that sucks.
Right?
Yeah. And all we really know from the outside looking in is that the charges were eventually dropped, right? And you know, okay. So at this point, I'm
maybe,
not going
maybe
to
indeed
think
her wages about to be garnished.
They're
for,
about to be
for
garnished.
Her
yeah.
image that his image that she tarnished.
I feel like though the best move for him would be to stay away from this person completely, not go into a civil trial. But you can't reason with people when bad things happen to them and they want to make it sting on the other side, right? But
oh, sure.
When you have no emotional investment at all, like the smartest thing for him is, it's continue to do whatever it is you're trying to do to continue being famous and in the spotlight. Don't do this. Like, don't go after this girl. I hope that's not what happens.
So you don't think he's going to be a surprise entrant at Money in the Bank?
No, I don't think so. I do think that it's interesting that they're still trying to keep Cass, like, you know, in the forefront, right? He's got some pretty name opponents these days. So, you know, think about, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years down the road, a lot of things can be forgotten. Maybe you could have Enzo come out with Big Cass and have a reunited moment, right?
Here's where I think that, like, ultimately, Enzo really did. Here's where I do feel the worst for him, is if he really wanted to get into music, the Enzo that's on television every week, you know, he could have been a music star. I do think so. Now, it's going to involve better production. It's going to involve him committing and trying hard at stuff in a way that, according to kind of backstage stuff, might seem to not be in his playbook. But he is a goal-driven guy, and he's tailor-made for Instagram. I'll tell you what.
Sure. You know, he's got that thing that a lot of people need to have if they do want to get famous, which is the no shame type thing.
Yes.
Like just willing to go out there and be loud and boisterous and in front of people, right? So, yeah, I do not doubt that he will find success in something. What I hope that doesn't happen, though, I hope that this isn't all just a big overcompensation for a lot of insecurities inside that we don't know about. And, you know, he has demons that end up, you know, because he does also seem like the kind of person that could be going on as well.
Well, I mean, look, whether or not that woman lied about what he did, there is a fairly solid proof that he was just hanging out with scumbag Instagram celebrities doing coke.
Random people in motels doing methamphetamines. Yeah, that seemed like that was just a thing that he just kind of did while he was on the road.
Whether or not that happened, and I feel bad if anybody gets caught up in something like that is awful, that is terrible, that should never happen. But you are putting yourself in a factory for trouble. Whether or not you accidentally take some home is almost a countdown clock, right?
Sure. Sure. Yeah.
All right. Money in the bank.
There's plenty of fun to be had, by the way, without methamphetamines, everybody.
Plenty of fun.
So much fun can be had without it.
Money in the bank sells like 2 weeks away. So we can focus on that going forward. We're already running a little late here talking about all the other stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, to be honest, it's so funny, this Money in the Bank, because we had all those pay-per-views like so rapidly.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it's like this giant break between Money in the Bank. Every time it's Sunday, I'm like, oh, crap, is it today? Oh, no, I still got weeks.
I know. But everybody wants to bitch, right? Everyone's just like, oh, there's too many pay-per-views. Oh, my God, so many pay-per-views. I can't stand all these pay-per-views. And then there's like a 5-week break, and they're like, where's the wrestling?
Yeah, what's going on? By the way, we do have a super full card already. There's 10 matches already announced.
Yeah. Well, that's the other crazy thing is that apparently now all pay-per-views are going to be 4 hours, and the major pay-per-views are going to be anywhere between 3 days and 2 months. So
official announcement on WWE.com.
Official announcement. Willie, you want to get back into this shitty Melodica cover life?
Yes, I do.
All right. These are both going to be new to you since we played one during the Ocadrian episode, but here was last week's. Any guesses?
Ah, that I'm so far from whatever the hell that is right now.
I will give you a hint.
Okay.
You would have to set up a trampoline before you hear that music.
Oh. Oh, well, now I know exactly who it is.
That is indeed Kalisto or Sin Cara, the Lucha Dragons. We would have accepted either, but that was last week's. Let's go ahead and listen to this week's. Here we go. All right. One more time. Any thoughts, Willie?
Man, it's like on the tip of my tongue. Oh, ah. Oh.
Describe.
I'm going to get, by next week, I'm going to have it.
Describe. By the way, did you see anything? Any feelings. It's on the tip of your tongue. Just keep talking.
Yeah, I know. It's just like I recognize. I'm just trying to picture the next part of it.
Yeah.
Damn.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you're interested, then
I'm too focused on. I was looking up my recipe for the Kevin Owens Powerbomb drink.
The pop up Powerbomb.
Yeah, the pop up Powerbomb.
Well, folks, if you have any idea on what that is, then go ahead and hit us up on social media at Willie Dills and at Justin R. Young. Willie, what you got going on this week?
I will be not traveling and hey! Not going to DreamHack. Yeah, but I am working a few events, so I'll be doing that. But you can check me out twitch.tv/WillieDills. There's a lot of fun decks that I saw recently at the DreamHack event that I really want to try out on the ladder. And actually try playing some competitive stuff because I've been memeing a little too hard and falling behind. So we'll do our memeing in Wild, and then we'll play
quality
decks on Standard.
Shit is loose on the ladder these days, post-nerfs. I just I discovered a Murloc Mage.
You can do kind of whatever.
Oh, my God. Wild.
Murloc Mage is cool, though, too, because you've got, you have some really interesting tools now. You've got that new card that draws three cards, and if they're not spells, then you keep them two mana. You're drawing three cards, you're like refilling your hand. You get that Archmage Aragal, which means that when you draw those three cards, if they're all Murlocs, you get another copy of each one. So then you're like handful of Murlocs, you just never run out of Murlocs. It's great.
No, it is awesome, awesome, awesome. I also went, I played a little Exodia Mage too that I saw on.
The one with Simulacrum, and then you and then you play the elemental that makes them cost zero, and then you just OTK in one turn without doing the extra turn. Yeah,
but you're but you're playing just the one apprentice, which is odd.
Yeah, you start with one apprentice.
Yeah,
and then you make two more of them, and then you make one more with a Molten Reflection gets you the first fireball. Yeah, that deck is. A deck is so crazy that somebody like actually figured that one out.
Yeah, I found that one on Disguised Toast, and I was like, I love playing because I love playing OTK Exodia decks, but that's one of those where it's like, if you're not dialed in, one fuck up will kill your entire game.
Yeah, you have to plan everything perfectly because you need a turn to set it up, right?
Yeah.
So you have to be able to play a 4-mana 4/5 at some point. And then also not be dead. And you don't have Ice Block anymore.
And you don't have Ice Block. And that 4-mana 4/5 can only come out once you basically have everything. Like you
once you have all your other stuff.
Yeah, you have to have all the ingredients and then make those apprentices
It's a tough deck, but I can see why you enjoy it. Because at the end, then it's just like a flurry of like, you can,
and then also fireball you can, as I did a couple times, fuck up and play your Simulacrum.
When you still have like an artificer or something in your hand.
Oh, yeah.
Whoops. Yeah. All right. By the way, for anybody who is curious, the Kevin Owens pop-up powerbomb recipe.
Oh, go.
It's a half ounce of Crown Royal Canadian whiskey.
Okay.
You put another half ounce in the shot glass of butterscotch liqueur.
You
can do whatever you want there. And now normally in the recipe for what's known as the Vegas bomb, you would then drop this into half a glass of Red Bull. But instead, you are going to drop it into half a glass of Molson Canadian beer and then slam that bitch home.
Huh. So it is. So, yeah. So I like the pop-up powerbomb idea.
Yes. Yes. But you're getting a butterscotchy whiskey shot and you're dropping it into essentially like a fairly light kind of amber beer.
Have you done this?
Not yet, but I am going to.
All right. Well, you got to prove it.
I'm going to start creating some cocktails based around wrestlers, and I will get back to you guys on how they do. But I want to hear from anybody else who tries this how this is.
Yes. And
it's a pretty simple drink, and it'll get you drunk.
Oh, listen, you start fucking around with those shots. Because like you're also chugging a half beer. Not only are you taking a shot, you are chugging a half of a beer.
You're essentially drinking a drink and a half each time you do this. So be aware.
This is one of those things that whenever I hang
out. Be responsible.
Whenever I hang out with Dills, I always wind up getting more fucked up than I think I should because I become indoctrinated into the shot and a beer lifestyle. And you don't realize Man, no. They catch up. They add up real quick.
They add up a lot faster than if you just get a beer or just get a shot. Yes.
Yeah.
But it's the I don't know. It's the very bartender drink order. And
it is.
It's like every single bartender I talk to does the same shit.
Exactly.
It's like, yeah, I never order a mixed drink. I never order anything. I just walk up, shot and a beer.
Shot and a beer. Ready to roll. Ladies and gentlemen, that about wraps it up for this version of the show.
I want you to call me.
I want to thank everybody for joining us. Thank you so much, Willie. It's good to be back.
Remember the number 1-900.
Ladies and gentlemen, that about wraps it up for 1-900 Wrestling. Remember,
stupid idiot.
Be dialing.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
And his name is John C.
Well, look at this prima donna.
Thank God Donald Trump already yet.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.